Welcome, everybody. Episode number 39 of Nerds United, the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, available on iTunes and Stitcher. And always remember to
subscribe.
That's right. Subscribe and leave some feedback. Drop a note and let me know if you like the show, if you hate the show. I don't care. I got thick skin. I can take it. But drop some feedback. Drock. I don't know where that goes. Drop a comment on the jitterymonkey.com/nerdsunitedpodcast page, or the Facebook page, or you can tweet at me. And remember, it is facebook.com/nerdsunitedshow. I found out this week that there are other Nerds United pages out there, and for some reason, they all have more likes than mine. I think you guys are going to the wrong Nerds United page. Seriously, Nerds United Show on Facebook. Yeah. So anyway, that's all I have. Really excited guest for you. Scratch that. That's not all I have for you, because I came across a list and I wanted to share it with you. It was posted by Newsarama, and it was a countdown of the 10 greatest non-Marvel or DC comic book superheroes. So you're looking outside of the big two, even though, you know, some of them have been brought into the fold, into the mix in that time. We'll just count them down here, and if I feel like there are any added thoughts that need to be brought in, we'll go from there. But counting them down 10 to 1, and they have the Midnighter as number 10. Now, he's one who has appeared with other Wildstorm characters in DC Comics, but was in the early years of Image, was one of the Wildcats and the Authority. So, again, Midnighter, I don't want to say his main claim to fame, he is one of the last Wildcats, in DC canon now to be standing. Has his own series now, and the another notable note about the Midnighter is he was one of the first major openly gay superheroes in mainstream comics. Now, he's not the only one. Northstar, I believe, the X-Men, also Batwoman, and in Justice League Earth 2, Alan Scott, Green Lantern character, is also. So they're expanding, certainly, but he was one of the first, the Midnighter. At number 9 is Witchblade, and that was a big series in the 90s. I feel like it is tapered off a little bit, but maybe that's just because I don't read Witchblade. I don't read as much about it. They say, according to Newsarama, still going strong 20 years after her debut, had a short-lived live-action TV series, but there are a lot of comic book adaptations that are short-lived, much like Birds of Prey was short-lived. They're not all going to have 10-year runs like Smallville or multi-year runs like Arrow, Flash, which I anticipate Gotham has been announced for a second season. So anyway, Witchblade coming in at number 9. Number 8 is Sailor Moon. I know more about that character from the cartoon that I didn't watch, but I know it, of its existence, more so than the comics. Number 7 is a third-party universe, if you will, the Charlton Valiant Milestone. Now, they did bring us some key DC characters down the road, but they started out certainly as independent or non-big two, but Blue Beetle comes to mind, Captain Atom, and yes, for what it's worth, I'm taking this pretty much straight from Newsarama, but the Charlton heroes were the inspiration for the characters of Watchmen, if you enjoyed Alan Moore's work, fantastic work there, but others have been reimagined or redesigned to fit the DC universe. Static Shock for a while there as well. That's number 7. Number 6 is Plastic Man. He did not start out at DC Comics, but I think got most of his popularity from DC Comics, but actually started out in quality comics. So Plastic Man, The Spirit, the Will Eisner legend. Also, and that's at number 5, Hellboy. I thought Hellboy would be a little higher on the list, but Hellboy comes in at number 4. Doesn't need to say a whole lot about Hellboy there. Number 3 is Spawn. I think, you know, Hellboy and Spawn, depending on your preference, could be interchangeable. But again, I'd say that could be a little higher on the list. At number 2, if we've already had Hellboy and Spawn, who could be higher than them? How about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Of course, non-Marvel, non-DC, and massive. I loved that cartoon. I've got all the movies. Yeah, even the most recent Michael Bay one. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles coming in at number 2. And at number 1, the biggest non-Big 2 comics superhero, Shazam, previously known as Captain Marvel. Again, another one that was brought into the DC fold, but not originally from DC. Was in Wiz Comics way back in the day. So there you go. Just thought I'd knock out that list real quick before we get to our guest. The guest is the organizer. He's been going at it for 10 years, and I hope decades more. The Cape Comic-Con, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. It is coming up April 17th, 18th, and 19th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of that weekend, right there, smack dab middle of the month. And we'll be joining or visiting with Ken Murphy here in just a minute. Had a chance to meet him and visit with him last year at the Cape Con. And guess what? We'll be back, and we're going to find out in this episode exactly who all we can expect to see if you're heading to the Cape Con, or if you're not planning on it, maybe why you should. So Ken Murphy's coming up next on Nerds United.
Comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
And welcome back, kids and boys, girls, comic fans of all ages, to the Nerd Dome. And joining me via telephone is the organizer. Been going on for 10 years, and as I mentioned just a few moments ago, hopefully decades, decades more. Ken Murphy, the organizer of the Cape Comic-Con. Ken, welcome back to Nerds United.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
10 years, sir. A decade of excellence.
It has been a fun ride and a learning experience and just a tremendous opportunity for me and my family and those in my community and those in the surrounding area who have attended the show. It has been a blessing.
You mentioned something I want to key on right away. You said learning experience. You've been doing this for 10 years. I mean, obviously, experimentation, trial and error. What are some of the things that you've noticed have worked? Some of the things maybe over the last decade that you noticed haven't worked or that needed tweaking to really, really shine and really, really get that appeal?
Greg, to start a show and to build on a show and keep creating layers of entertainment, layers of interest. It takes time, and again, like you said, trial and error, and a lot of work, and certainly it's not a one-man effort. Things I've learned that I think have come very much to the forefront in the last couple of years is that, you know, it's not enough to just post and hope someone finds it. It's not enough to hang posters in windows of your local downtown businesses. It's not enough to hand out postcards at larger events. You have to do them all. You have to really layer your marketing and your advertising, and the awareness has to grow and grow as you get closer to the event each year. So without hard work and a passion for it, you're probably not going to enjoy the success or have the success. Other things that I've found, people are, you know, comic books are a staple. Comic books are they're the calling card, if you will. But you need to to build around other mediums of entertainment, television, film, voice acting, animation. It can go on. We are, you know, we're the big top. We're the big umbrella, and everyone's invited in with their interesting form of their hobby, of their passion. So tremendous learning experience, and continues to be a learning experience. Things that haven't worked well, you've got to be careful to find things that people are interested in. Current and nostalgia both come together. I don't think you can build a show on just nostalgia, but you want to make sure that all of the generations are accounted for. Guys my age and much younger, and ladies my age and much younger. So you got to kind of be careful not to pigeonhole yourself with one demographic or one genre or one. You got to be diverse. You got to be open.
10 years now, and you're going back. Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't you going back to where it all began, back to the Osage Center? Isn't that where the first Cape Con was?
No, Greg. The first Cape Con was downtown, upstairs of the old Buckner Restaurant, Buckner Brewing Company. It became it was a restaurant and a microbrewery, and the upstairs was a venue. People would rent it out for all kinds of ideas, parties. Anniversaries, whatever. But it was a really nice space, and it was 20 steps up. So we had to trudge all of our stuff up the stairs at the upstairs that overlooked the Mississippi River for the first year. And then we outgrew it the first year. We did not have enough room after the first year, and we kept searching for a home, and we didn't find a home until we joined with the Parks and Rec Department, the City of Cape's Parks and Rec Department. They run a number of buildings and facilities throughout Cape, and we found a home with them 5 years ago. So this is our fifth year bouncing back and forth between the Osage Center and the Arena Building.
So going back, I can't even say going back a decade. We got to go back a little bit more than that. What happened that you kind of said, you know what, Cape could use something in an event like this? I mean, what got the ball rolling that the genesis of creating this event in your community?
Oh, I remember very clearly. I owned a comic book retail store, a hobby store called Marvels and Legends Comics, and it was my 10th anniversary in business in 2006, and I had been touring the country going to the Wizard World Chicago show and Dragon Con Atlanta. I had the opportunity to go to Comic Con in San Diego and other shows, like it, while I was in the retail comic book business. And on my 10th anniversary of owning that comic book store, I said to myself, I want to bring a show like those, certainly on a much smaller level, like those, to Cape. And that's how I celebrated 10 years in the retail comic book business, was having my first show.
Aside from being upstairs in what you would come to find out was a venue that was too small for your needs, what could you tell me about that inaugural year? Who were some of the featured guests that you had? And obviously, it had a large enough turnout that you had to start looking for a larger venue almost immediately.
Oh, yeah, it's a great story. So we booked the venue, and we started getting some local vendors, just some guys that had really nice comic book collections or toy collections, some local artists all wanted to join. I was promoting it out of my comic book store, did an ad in the paper. One of my customers, a fellow by the name of Chris, said to me in passing, "Ken, did you know that my uncle worked for Marvel Comics in the 70s and worked and wrote Ghost Rider?" And I said, "Well, that's kind of interesting." And it was kind of like an odd moment. I was like, really? I didn't know that.
I've been in business 10 years. This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Yeah. So I called him and I said, "Well, what's he doing?" He said, "Well, he lives in St. Louis, in the St. Louis area. And, he hasn't been involved in comics in 20 years, 25 years. Whatever. And I said, "Well, let's call him and get him down here." And we called him, and we built, I won't say we built the show around him, but he was our first guest, Gary Frederick. Silver Age writer Gary Frederick wrote Spotlight 5 with the first appearance of Ghost Rider, and then the Ghost Rider series, and some other, and he wrote some Nick Fury stories and some Captain America stories for Marvel in the early 70s. And he was our first guest, and we are thrilled to say he's coming back to be a guest for our 10th anniversary show. So again, it's full circle. Gary Frederick opened the show with us as our first professional comic book guest. And he will be in attendance for the 10th anniversary, so we're really excited about that.
I was going to say, and that was news that just broke here in the last few days, that he'd be coming back. And definitely, I mean, whenever you can bring in, you know, someone who has really played an integral part in comic book history, I mean, that's the creator of Ghost Rider. And now he's got to sit back and watch Nicolas Cage pretend to be his character, and all joking aside, but Ghost Rider is a fantastic character, a darker character, and, you know, just like so many other characters, has, you know, evolved and changed over the years to now. My understanding is the current incarnation of Ghost Rider doesn't even have a motorcycle, but is in like a hot rod, like a muscle car type of thing. So the fact that you can get him back, the fact that you had him in year one is, you know, pretty astounding, perhaps maybe unheard of for the first year of a con.
Well, it just happened. You know, it was nothing I sought out. I hadn't really thought about professional guests, or I didn't have the budget, or, you know, I didn't even know where to start. And it just kind of fell into my lap, and we got really fortunate. I was really proud. I was really proud of some things that the convention has kind of spawned. There's some things from the convention that grew. One was, after again 20 some odd years absent from the industry, Gary decided, after doing my show, to actually promote himself and to go out and do other shows like mine. And for about a 5, 6, 7, 8 year run, Gary would be at the Wizard World shows, and Gary would be at Mid Ohio and some of the larger regional shows. I even think he made a trip out to San Diego 1 year. So I was really excited that, you know, he enjoyed my show. He enjoyed meeting his fans. And there's a couple of other really exciting stories. There's a young man out of Metropolis, Illinois, by the name of Will Woods. And Will's an artist. He was an aspiring artist, a young kid, you know, early 20s. And he came to my show after I'd met him at one of the shows in Metropolis, the Superman celebration. He came to my show and he set up the first year and did some sketching and has had a good time. And from that show, and that was in 1997. From that show, over the past 8 or 9 years, Will has become a tremendously successful artist, traveling the country every weekend, being a guest at large shows. And it truly did come from Cape Comic Con. It did. Now, what he's done is on his own talent. Absolutely. But I am really excited every time I see him and talk to him to say, hey, my show was the first show you ever did. And he said, your show was the first show I ever did. So there's been a lot of really neat experiences come from Cape Comic Con and relationships built.
Over the course of the last 10 years, you've had obviously a slew of guests, you know, come in, featured guests. Who have been some of those standouts that you've had that really, you know, when you think back on the time that you spent visiting with them, that really just bring a smile to your face? Who are some of your favorites?
Well, I can tell you three that are actually, you know, pinch yourself moments. Like, did this really happen? Moments. Billy Tucci is a fellow from New York that created an independent book in 1995 called She Way of the Warrior. And when I first bought my comic book store, opened up comic boxes one day, and here was this book. And it kind of changed the way I looked at comic books, from being a mainstream Marvel and DC fan my whole life for 25, 30 years, to see independently created titles and how magnificent they were. So I got to meet him at conventions around the country over again a decade or so. And then as I started building my show, I got a hold of him one day, and he agreed to come to Cape and do my show. And that was just an honor and a privilege, and it was a very exciting time to spend the weekend with him. Ethan Van Sciver is a DC artist, and not too many years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, Ethan was the number one artist in the country. He was the number one most celebrated comic book artist in the country working for DC Comics about 4 years ago, and I just happened to catch his ear online one day, and he agreed to come to Cape Girardeau to a show of our size and building its following, to have landed Billy and then a talent like Ethan Van Sciver. Those are moments that you don't really think are going to happen. You know, you think those guests are only tiered for shows that bring in 20, 25, 30,000 and above attendance. But they were really gracious, and they met their fans here, and that was a really neat thing. William Katzen, the greatest American hero. You know, I'm a kid. I'm in high school, and that show's on television. And again, he answered my email, and he got on a plane and flew to Cape Girardeau 3 or 4 years ago to be a part of Cape Comic Con. And he did a film called Carrie with John Travolta and Sissy Spacek. It was a Stephen King film back in the 70s that was really a popular film. And then he did The Greatest American Hero. And, you know, these guys have come to Cape, and they've had good times. We as a community and our comic book show and our fans here have showed these guys a really good time. And they were happy to be here. And they, you know, they talked their business, and they talked their talents, and they shared that with everyone. And, those are three, there's a couple of more, and there's some things going on this year that I'm really excited about, and I hate to forget anyone because there's been numerous other guests that, you know, we were really fortunate to get, and that they made an impact on our show, that people from St. Louis and Chicago and Springfield and Memphis and Nashville took notice when talents like this would come to our show. And that's the plan. The plan is that, we want to continue to grow our show to be a regionally recognized show where, fans from, 500, 600, 700 miles away will recognize, that we're putting on that spring Cape Comic Con every year, and that they will, they'll like the lineup, that they'll feel like it's a solid lineup of talent.
One of the things that I really enjoyed in my observations and experience of being at Cape Con number 9 last year, just how overwhelmingly friendly and gracious, the featured guests seemed to be. And it wasn't just them. Obviously, you go up and down the rows and visit with vendors, and everybody's just so friendly. Everybody's there because there's a common interest. There's that common thread throughout this community that everybody just wants to go out there, visit, have a good time. And I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of those people that I met last year again this year when it's held at the Osage.
I can, I would love to rattle off the names of 10 vendors and 10 artists that have made my show the over, 7, 8, 9 years in a row. And they've become the foundation and the family of Cape Comic Con. And fans and guests of the show recognize them each year, and they look forward to seeing them each year, and it may be the only chance they get throughout the year, but they've built that relationship to where it's a one weekend per year event for us here in Cape. And absolutely, whether it be Andy Borders or Jamie Hickson or they're local artists and local talent, and then professional artists. I'd be remiss not to mention that we are just, again, privileged and honored to have Jeremy Hahn and Cullen Bunn and these men that have actually risen to the tiers of working for Marvel and working for DC and writing and drawing these books for these companies that have such broad appeal and they have such a huge market share, obviously, but these are very talented men, and they're making return trips to our show, and we're really proud to have them back. Wade Moore and Brad Moore, Brian Rhodes, these guys, these creators, they join us every year. They join us every year. And like you said, Greg, they get a chance to visit with each other, and they have dinner together in the evenings. It is friendly. It is a friendly, fun atmosphere where people can get together and just, swap stories and show their talents and have a great time.
You mentioned one of the featured guests for Cape Con 10 and Cullen Bunn, and if you follow him on Twitter, folks, or you know, follow, just pop in his website, colinbunn.com, you'd see that, you know, less than a month before he's going to be in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, he's at Emerald City Comic-Con in Seattle. I mean, so it's, you know, it's that kind of talent that, you know, that my guest here, Ken Murphy, is busting his rear end to bring back, and the relationships, Ken, that you've built over the 10 years and prior to that, to get that level of respect for the Cape Con. It's, you know, a lot of people would see, you know, maybe a community the size of Cape Girardeau, and I'm not knocking it because I enjoyed my time in Cape Girardeau when I lived and worked there, but it's not a Chicago, obviously, or San Diego, or New York, or Seattle. So, the when you're bringing A-list talent like that to Cape Girardeau, it really makes people notice in the region and around the country.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Jeremy Hahn just got back from the London SuperCon, and if I had to guess, there was, you know, 50 to 100,000 people at the London SuperCon. They'll all be at the large shows. They'll all be at San Diego. They will all be at Emerald City, which is a huge show. They'll all be at New York Comic Con. These guys are major talents, and that just goes without saying. The thing that I try to impress upon those guys or others that I'm trying to entice to come to Cape is you'd be surprised. Cape Comic Con this year will draw more fans than shows in St. Louis. Now, I'm not speaking of Wizard World St. Louis, but there are shows that promoters and will put on in larger cities, much larger cities than Cape Girardeau. And we have, again, we've been so fortunate and so well supported by our community and our surrounding community and outside of our community that, you know, when Cullen comes and when Jeremy comes and when Greg Land comes and when Billy Tucci comes to our show, you know, they're professional and time away, and the vendors that travel the country for a living, you know, they spend time on the road, and it's expensive, and this is how they feed their families. And my show has to be viable for them. And the only way for it to be viable for them is if we have created enough excitement, enough interest to bring people to the show and show them an entertaining weekend. And we've done that. We have by a lot of hard work, and a lot of fun and a lot of effort, we've created an environment where Cullen and Jeremy and Brian Koshak and Doug Paskowitz will come to our show, and they'll go home and they'll nod and they'll thank us for their time, and they'll be back again next year. This is Doug's return trip. This is Cullen's third year. This is Jeremy's third or fourth year. Brian Koshak's fourth year. And these guys are all, you know, published major publishers, and we're excited to bring the 10th year here in 21 days from today. 21 days from today, April 17th to the 19th, we will launch the 10th year anniversary of Cape Comic Con, and we are expecting tremendous crowds and a lot of fun.
For the clarification for the listeners out there, we are recording this the Friday before you'll hear it. So as this episode drops on Wednesday, we're less than 3 weeks away from Cape Con 10. And I know in visiting with you last year, I said, I'm excited. You know, what does the 10th year have in store? And you said, you know what? I'm already working on a few things. I'm not going to tell anybody yet. You have been busy. I know you've been busy, but what can you tell me about all that you've been up to in the last year to organize, to prepare for this, the 10th year anniversary of the Cape Comic Con?
One of the most exciting components to my show, and this goes back to the first year, is that my show blends itself and lends itself very, very well to the gaming community. We are going to be holding much larger and much better supported Magic the Gathering tournaments. Our Pathfinder Society will be much larger this year. The HeroClix community will be represented this year. So these guys have been, again, they've been with us for going on 10 years now. all these different clubs and all these different tournaments that take place, and our gaming community grows and grows every year. And this year we're really excited. One thing I worked on all winter long was to bring video gaming to Cape Comic Con. We are holding the first Mortal Kombat 10 tournament in Missouri at Cape Comic Con. It is going to be a tremendously successful and exciting weekend, and video gaming just becomes another component. And that's one of the biggest things I've worked on since last year's show. And I guess the other two things are, because it was the 10th anniversary, we wanted to do something on a much larger scale. I did want to reach out and get someone iconic and yet still current from the acting community, and we are really fortunate and excited to have John Wesley Shipp, who has done a lot of things in his career, but two things in that large book of work that he's done is that he starred in the 1990 CBS series The Flash, and he's now currently on the current CW series The Flash. And he'll be a guest of ours for the 10th anniversary this year, and that's something that, you know, again, it wasn't easy, and it took a lot of effort to clear, you know, to make sure that his schedule would be clear and for, you know, stay in constant contact with him and his agent. And I guess the biggest thing that we did in the last 6 months was we have forged a relationship with Marvel Comics, and Marvel Comics is creating a variant cover exclusively for Cape Comic Con of their Avengers Ultron Forever number one comic book. It will be on the shelves at the end of April, but our show will have its exclusive variant cover just for our show. And Marvel is sending the artist who's done that cover, Greg Land, to our show to support that book. So I guess that's the biggest project I worked on over the last 6 months to kind of kick off the promotion for Cape Comic content.
I know that was a big reveal. You hyped it up quite a bit on the Facebook page. I helped getting the energy out there, and it seemed like it was, all right, I've got this big news, but I can't quite release it yet. So I said, okay, I'll wait. and then you said, all right.
You were, yeah.
My wife will tell you I'm not a patient person. For whatever reason, at Christmas time, I'm okay. Because I'd rather give than receive. So for me, it was, there's going to be this big news coming down. I can't wait to share it rather than hoard the information. But when that information was revealed, and then we see the, you know, Cape Comic-Con variant, and it has that, you know, folks, if you're listening and you're not familiar with Cape Girardeau, there is the bridge that spans, you know, Cape and East Cape, Illinois, and it's a beautiful bridge, relatively recent, probably within the last 10 years, right?
That is correct.
Okay, and that plays in the background of the main characters, the action that you're seeing on this cover. It is a gorgeous cover. Greg Land did a fantastic job because, as we all know, Greg's do terrific jobs at almost everything they do. You've got to, if you can't make it to Cape, first of all, really try to. But secondly, if they can't make it, but man, they want that variant cover, can they order it and have it possibly be shipped to them, or is it strictly for the people who will be in attendance?
We are taking pre-orders now, so you do not have to be in attendance to own this book. We are taking pre-orders at the Cape Comic Con website. If there are any copies of it, because it's a limited supply, if there are any available after the show, we will continue to keep them for sale on the website, and we will work out a mail order. You know, I will ship them to you at that point. I won't take any orders to mail out prior to Cape Comic Con. If those books are sold out, then I'll just have to say, I'm sorry you missed it. If they're still available, they'll be for sale, and we will have a mail order type of system in place for that book.
Excellent, excellent. And it's so fitting and so perfect time, such perfect timing that Cape Con is 2 weeks before Avengers Age of Ultron hits theaters. So Ultron is already right you know, it's living rent-free in everyone's minds, and now you get this special tie-in with this title, with this variant, with this special variant for Cape Girardeau, and really is an awesome piece. And, of course, the artist will be there for, you know, he can sign it. You can put it, what I'm going to do is bag it and board it and run it out to my truck immediately, and I might even have, like, a metal briefcase, a steel briefcase in the truck just in case. It's going to be that nice, and, again, limited supply. It's well worth, you know, the pre-order, and I'm going to tell you what, folks, if you are in that tri-state region, which, you know, for me, for Cape Girardeau, we kind of think, and even quad state, because Arkansas is not far, but Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, probably even Tennessee, it's well worth it. And I know in following on the Cape Con Facebook page, you've been working with some area lodging to try to get some block off some space for some out-of-town guests. This thing is blowing up big time, folks, and you're going to want to be here. We still got a lot to talk about, Ken, because there's a schedule. I mean, we've mentioned some of the featured guests, but there's also, you know, panels. And first of all, starting things off right on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock is a panel with the artist that we've mentioned several times here, Mr. Colin Bunn, and it's going to be just a great conversation. We're going to learn his story, and it's going to open up an opportunity for him to take some questions from his fans there in attendance.
There is absolutely. Cullen is very well known for his work with Marvel Comics. He's been writing for them. If I follow his career closely, he's been writing comics for Marvel for probably the better part of 7 or 8 years. Cullen broke into the business with a tremendously popular book called The Damned. And The Damned was an independent book. It was from Dark Horse, and it was very successful. It ran, you know, a couple of years as a monthly title. Tremendous traction and tremendous notoriety from the book called The Damned. So Cullen is very very grounded in independent comic book storytelling. He's launched a book from Oni Press, and it's called Hellbreak, and we have 500 copies of Hellbreak number one that we'll be giving out free to those who come in and pay to go to Cape Comic Con. And we want everyone that attends his panel Saturday morning to have that issue of Hellbreak number one, because that's what the panel will be centered around. And we feel like, because the book just shipped this coming week, and that we're helping him launch that title, and we're really proud to do so. It's a really neat project. The title is great. It's called Hellbreak, and Colin's the writer. And, you know, we told him when we booked him, we said, we are going to launch this book for you to the tune of 500 copies. And he was excited for that, and that way 500 of his fans will have his book, and he'll sign those books, and that's what his panel will be around. You mentioned panels. You know, our comic book show, our convention, we want to give back as much information as we can to fans, and the artists and the writers, John Wesley Shipp, they'll all do a 1-hour Q&A and panel discussion about their career, and they'll be glad to discuss you know, those aspiring creative types can ask questions, and those are for any comic book convention, for any convention at all. The panels are really important. You take away a lot of personal information and intimate conversation, and we love that we're going to be able to do, gosh, probably about a dozen throughout the weekend. One thing we're doing this year, and we've done it before, but this is the third time we've done it. Christopher Bauer out of Paducah, Kentucky. He's an independent film producer, director, and actor. And we are screening his horror film, Doom's Chapel Horror, Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. It'll be right after the costume contest because Chris is my MC. Chris has MC'd probably five of our nine costume contests. And Chris is just an incredibly engaging fella. And he is, after the costume contest, he will put on his producer hat. And he has actors from the film, and Chris is, gosh, he's produced and directed and acted in quite a few full-length, you know, two-hour feature films. And he's bringing one to Cape Girardeau for Cape Comic-Con on Saturday the 18th, and we are tremendously excited about that presentation.
The Doom's Chapel Horror. What can you tell me, plot-wise, synopsis, or are you going to make me and everybody else wait until the 18th?
Here's what I know. I know that he debuted the film in his hometown of Paducah, Kentucky, and they have a really nice independent film theater there. And it was very successful. And he has numerous reviews and film critiques online. If you Google Doom's Chapel Horror, you will see really well-received reviews and critiques from professional or semi-professional movie critiques critics. And it's been very well received. I can tell you. Let's see. What can I tell you about this film? If the term is right, I will tell you it is a movie that is in the genre of found footage.
Aha!
If the listeners are familiar with that, one review says it is the finest found footage film that they've seen since. Oh, you need to help me. What was the famous one 10 years ago?
Blair Witch Project.
Since the Blair Witch Project. Thank you very much. I knew I would get stumped at some point during this interview. So Chris Bauer is a friend of mine, and he's just a tremendous, talented fella. He's done a lot of neat things from a local film perspective, and he'll be in attendance. He will do a panel as well, and we know how popular independent filmmaking is nowadays. So independent film producers, directors, actors, please come to the show and meet Chris and talk with him. We also are doing, first time we've ever had this, Lorenzo Lozana out of St. Louis is the art director for a comic book publishing company called Lions Forge. And you're getting the first scoop on this because it's not even been teased on Facebook.
Booyah! Nerds United.
This is the first I've ever said this. No one knows this but me and you and your listeners. Lorenzo said while he is here in Cape, he would be happy to do portfolio reviews for aspiring artists. Again, Lorenzo is the art director for Lions Forge Publishing out of St. Louis. They are a tremendously talented group of guys, and they have the license to do comic book work on a lot of properties you would have heard of, like the A-Team and Airwolf and a lot of those 80s television properties. Yahya Khan is probably the most famous cosplayer that I know, and Yahya Khan has a comic book published by Lions Forge. So these guys are really talented, and they're coming to the show this year, and Lorenzo just announced that he would be happy to do artist portfolio reviews for aspiring artists. And I think that will be really special for people to be able to pick his brain and get his thoughts.
Anybody who listened to my episode a couple weeks back, I had artist J. Peter Onitz on. He has done the art for Magicians Must Die. And I'm telling you, Ken, consider him for Cape Con 11 next year. He's Denver-based. But I was telling him about my short-lived art career from a few years back and how I was just trying to freehand a picture of Green Lantern, because Green Lantern's my guy, and it didn't work very well, and how he looked a little Hispanic with a very thin, it was supposed to be shadowing, but it ended up looking like a very thin upper lip mustache. I would not take that to Lorenzo or anybody. I had it on Facebook for an hour, and people were making fun of it, so I took that picture down, and I've never drawn again. So to those of you with some talent, take some of your sketches, and Lorenzo will be there, and it is a portfolio review. And again, you're hearing that first right here on Nerds United. Those are just a couple of the featured guests, one that we haven't mentioned, but we certainly need to, because she is a legend. Miss Misty Brew.
You know, Greg, I am so glad, because I just can't let this interview end without mentioning Misty Brew. She is a TV personality from our region, and she was the classic television horror host Bane, bigger than life personality. great backstory, tremendous talent, and she was recognized at the Horror Hound convention in Cincinnati last weekend, and she was inducted into the Horror Host Hall of Fame. And we will be her first appearance since that induction, and she is going to be there all weekend, and she's fantastic. She's going to be a neat lady, and the horror community and the horror genre is so passionate, and they're such a large vocal group that I know they're going to come out in big numbers to see Misty. So when I first talked with her, and when I first started kind of bringing her into the Cape Comic Con family, it occurred to me that we talked about local artists and local creators, and it occurred to me that I've never had a creative bone in my body. I've never put pen to paper, but I do know a lot of friends who do, and I've met a lot of people in this business, and I told them that I would publish the comic book. I would pay them, I would publish it start to finish, but I needed them to produce the first ever Misty Brew comic book. And I hired my friends. It's a joint effort. So they are co-publishers from Helot Comics, Jamie Hickson and Rob Duckett. And they have the book ready to go. We have it printed, and Misty will be there signing her very first comic book. We also got really ambitious, and Wade Moore, who has been at our show for years, has crafted the exclusive Misty Brew action figure. So Misty is being represented in comic books, action figures. She'll be there in person doing a question and answer panel. And it would not be fitting unless I told you that Greg Land has done an exclusive Misty Brew pinup for Cape Comic Con.
It is
the coolest thing. It is amazing.
It is the Cape Comic Con 10 celebrates Hall of Famer Misty Brew.
It is. She has become such a tremendous piece to this year's show. All the fans are going to love her, and she's just a terrific talent, and she is going to be quite an addition to this year's show.
The only way that this could get better is if you put her to work and have her host, or at least introduce, the Doom's Chapel Horror.
Well, I would ask you this. I would ask you this. Since we have great minds that work alike.
Uh-oh.
You can imagine that I'm well with you on this little piece. So, I called Christopher last week, and I said, Chris, listen, we have got to leverage this. We have got to leverage that you have a Hall of Fame horror film hostess in attendance, and you're just having to bring in your horror film. Yeah. She'll more than likely introduce that film, and that'll be a moment.
Well, everything is shaping up. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. Remember, folks, it's 3 days. It is April 17th, 18th, and 19th, and it's going to be a blast. I had such a great time being down there last year, and due to my, I don't want to say connections, you know, like I've got the hookup or anything, but I've got some friends in that area from my time in Cape, and it's already a matter of, you know, like, all right, we're going to go eat dinner at this place. And I know Burritoville is still on the plans or on the back burner, at least. Lots of things. I'm excited because for me, it's an opportunity to, you know, hang out with like-minded people, with my comic book nerdy brethren community, seeing some great friends, visiting with you, obviously. There's still a lot more going on. We've really just scratched the surface. I mean, there's another panel at noon on Saturday about cosplay. We got to talk about that because cosplay is a big part of the Cape Comic Con because you have the cosplay contest, the costume contest.
It is great. The costume contest is, again, it's a life of its own. I get more calls, I get more emails from people in the community. What time is it? I can't miss it. I've got to have my grandkids there. We were really excited. I think it all got started year one when the 501st Vader's Best Stormtrooper Division came down. And I think we all kind of, in our local community, kind of fell in love with the idea of those guys being there. And since then, everyone's kind of joined in on the fun. And our costume contest had 80 entries in the last year's costume contest. And it is an absolute sight to see. The place will be packed at 2 o'clock. It'll be standing room only. Chris will be our MC again. And it is a fun time. It is. We've seen the neatest costumes and the cutest kids and people who really just enjoy embracing the culture. And we absolutely will have what I think is one of the strongest costume contests and cosplay events in the area. It is really a fun time, top notch, and we are thrilled to be able to do that again this year. Desiree Cosplay will be coming down from St. Louis to hold a panel on cosplay.
Is it sad that I'm still lobbying for Lego Batman from last year's costume contest, because that kid should have won, and I'm still mad?
No, listen. No, not at all.
Okay.
One of the most passionate plays as it relates to Cape Comic Con is the costume contest. I want to tell you, it is subjective, and there's going to be someone come away that had a wonderful presence, a great costume, and they're going to win. And there's going to be someone that didn't, and you're going to hear about it, and you're going to hear the rumblings will be there. It's just all in the dynamics of the event. Not everybody can win, and we will crown a winner. But the point is, I hear about it months afterwards. I heard about it now. 350? No, last year's show was a year ago, and you're still bringing it up.
It is part of
the culture of a costume contest to know that someone is not going to win. It just might be deserving. So
we would be remiss if we did not mention, and I know you're going to be visiting on another Jittery Monkey podcast, My 1-2-3 Cents with Kevin Hunsberger in the very near future, in the week or weeks leading up to the Cape Comic Con. But that comic book and wrestling connection continues. That tradition is still there. Last year it was Jim Cornette, and this year welcoming beautiful Bobby Eaton. And there's that connection, if you will, with him and Cornette. And I don't know if Jim Cornette put in a good word, but able to get Bobby Eaton. And again, that's, There are going to be, I think, those people who, you know, see that for that nostalgia factor. They see that wrestling, that classic wrestling name, in the flyer or online or on the marquee, and that might get them in the door. They're going to take advantage of everything else, but if they're coming down to see beautiful Bobby Eaton, they're going to still immerse themselves in the rest of the experience. So we have to mention beautiful Bobby Eaton.
Wrestling has become such a fun part of Cape Comic Con. And don't forget, going back two years ago, Jerry the King Lawler from Memphis, and certainly from WWE, was here. And that's where it got started. We had a tremendous question and answer panel. We went over his 20-year history in the WWE, his 40-year history in Memphis wrestling, the Andy Kaufman, one of television's top 50 moments rated by TV Guide was Lawler and Andy Kaufman on David Letterman. So we were in the presence of Jerry Lawler and discussed the whole thing openly, to include, the tragic death of Owen Hart. It was all the Bret Hart Montreal screw job. We all discussed it, and that's kind of once in a lifetime stuff. You don't get Jerry Lawler one-on-one, within 5 feet of you, to discuss things like that. And that was 2 years ago. That was a great time. So last year, out of nowhere, here come all the questions, all the emails, who you get. And Lawler was going to make the return trip. So we were going to go back to back with Jerry Lawler, and something came up and he truly couldn't make it. We understand that these guys are busy, and that's understandable. And as a last minute stand in, Jim Cornette come, and he just literally blows the roof off the place. Jim Cornette is, he's 1,000 volts of electricity. He's, you know, his mouth doesn't stop. He says, you know, unapologetic with what he says. And he, his career in wrestling was the same way. And I think we all went, we all took away, you know, that we met, you know, a tremendous wrestling personality. And this year we're very excited. You know, we're very excited to have beautiful Bobby Eaton, tremendous name throughout the 80s and 90s in pro wrestling. And he'll be great for the fans. He'll sign autographs. And, yeah, it is a big piece for our show. Our show now has created the environment that it, there will be an expectation of who will be next, who will be next. And we will continue to build on that. We don't want to disappoint anyone. We look to find this, you know, someone who will fit that role for us and who will be good for us and our fans and who we can all kind of, you know, share a fun weekend with. And cannot be more excited to have beautiful Bobby Eaton.
I remember last year with Jim Cornette and having the opportunity to spend 20 or 25 minutes outside interviewing him for the show and then going on that evening to the Jim Cornette Experience. And I believe that was at the Cup and Cork. Cork and Bottle. The Cup and Cork in Old Cape. And I remember bits and pieces because I had a few of those big bison ales that they had on tap, and I don't remember as much as I should. I vaguely remember driving from the Cup and Cork to the hotel, and I don't remember falling asleep.
Be careful. We want to promote you know, safe driving and being careful. But what that was all about was I have a vision for Kid Comic Con, and I have a goal, and that is that we get our community involved, that Cape Comic Con actually will take place in different places throughout the community, in the evenings, social events, parties. And that's why we took that event, the Cup and Cork. That was our way of starting to get downtown businesses involved. That was a fun evening. Like I said, he had great stories to tell. But yeah, part of the plan will be in years to come that we branch out maybe to the university and do something on campus that weekend. Lots of opportunities to continue to grow and build on Cape Comic Con. And Jim Cornette was fun last year. I'm telling you, if you like to hear great wrestling stories, there's nothing better.
And there was a bigger turnout expected, but I really enjoyed the feel of the Jim Cornette Experience because it was just, you know, a smaller, quieter venue. It was jokes and laughs and stories and questions from the audience and just a great time to reminisce about some of those classic moments in his career. But as you mentioned, branching out and getting it away from the main, you know, location of the con, and you're doing the same thing again this year, going back to you know, downtown to Port Cape. You're taking the costumes on the road for a costume and dance party. We got to know about that.
Yeah, what we will do is we will go downtown Cape Girardeau on the riverfront at Port Cape Girardeau, and shows like mine love to have an after party into the early hours of the morning, and there'll be music and there'll be dancing and there may or may not be an ale or two, and we want everyone in costume, and we are doing a Saturday night costume party, and we are calling it Costume Contest Part 2. Because we will create a costume contest at the party, a little different than what you see at the convention. But again, fun times getting together, enjoying good friends, good music, costume party. Can't wait. Again, like I said, branching out, continuing the convention into the late hours of the evening and early hours of the morning. We don't want to end the convention at 6 o'clock. Conventions have a connotation of, you know, it needs to be social. There need to be dinners. There need to be, you know, gatherings in the evenings. And this is one way for us to keep the party going and give everyone a lot of chance to enjoy their evening.
And that one, the costume and dance party is 18 and up. So
that is correct.
But that is being, you know, I think just as much being its location as anything because of the evening hours and it's at a restaurant / bar, if I remember Port Cape correctly. So good opportunity for you know, the parents to come out and or at adults, you know, but you know, you can leave the Lego Batman at home, probably not by themselves. Get a sitter. We've had a great conversation, Ken, as we always do. Some folks, they can go online, they can get more information at cape-con.com, and that'll tell them, you know, complete schedule, the complete list of the guests, the featured guests. Always great, tremendous amount of vendors that are there, and don't worry, folks, they'll have food for you. I remember, you know, cupcakes and chocolates and sweets and the good unhealthy stuff that I'm already hungry for. So I'm pumped.
It's all part of the convention experience, isn't it?
You have to eat.
Absolutely. We will be well accommodating with those two vendors you mentioned are coming back this year, along with our food vendor is DG's local deli restaurant, and they will be able to provide lunch and whatever you might need to keep yourself energized and ready to go throughout the whole day. Yes, you mentioned the vendors. 30-plus vendors, 120 tables of tremendous collectibles, vintage toys, comic books. Crafting has become a tremendous part of Cape Comic Con. People will be there making chainmail for chainmail outfits that Renaissance fairs and people wear. We will actually have on-demand T-shirt printing. If you see an image, if you see something you want, if you want to create your own, we will be creating on-demand T-shirts at Cape Comic Con this year. Gaming stores will be in attendance with all the current and classic games. I'm sure I'm going to forget local collectors, you know, will be there with their collections. It goes on and on. One thing that you can't miss is if you are at the place and time in your life where you're looking to do trading or possibly liquidate a collection and you don't like to go online or you don't want to travel, you know, there's 30 potential buyers at Comic-Con. I have had people approach me all the time about selling collections over like 25 years in this hobby. And I tell them, no better place than Cape Comic Con to come find someone and make a good deal on a collection if that's what you're looking to do. Certainly, adding to your collection, enhancing your collection, tons of merchandise to choose from.
As far as pricing goes, everything, I remember last year, everything was beyond reasonable. I mean, if you want to go to, I'm just going to throw it out there, you know, San Diego, you're going to spend thousands of dollars. But everything is more than reasonable. I know that there is the Flash Pass. What can you tell me about the Flash Pass?
Well, when you mentioned affordable and reasonable, you know, and that's all relative to everyone's place in life. But here's what I will tell you that we have managed to accomplish in our time at Cape Comic Con, and that is a Friday ticket is $5 to get in, and a Sunday ticket is $5 to get in. Now, a Saturday ticket's $10 to get in. However, if you purchase the three-day weekend pass, it's $15. So it's still just $5 a day to get in. And we're really proud that we think it's affordable for most everyone. Yes, there are passes this year because we like to create the fancy collector badge, and we want you to be able to get in the show for the weekend. We want you to be able to attend his panel. We want you to get a picture and an autograph. So, yes, please go online and check out the Flash Pass. We have the Cohen Bun Pass, and that's basically the attendance to get in. You'll get a lanyard. You'll get the comic book. You'll attend his panel. He'll sign your comic book. Please go to www.cape-con.com and check out all the different options for gaming and for attendance badges. We have the one day. We have the weekend. But like you said, Greg, we feel like it's affordable, or as affordable as we can possibly make it.
It's one of the beauties of Cape Con. It's why I'm looking forward to it. As I told you last year, as I was leaving for the last time, I said, hey, we'll see you in 2015. It's why I'm coming back, and it's why I'm bringing more of the Jittery Monkey family, as I mentioned. I know you'll be visiting with Kevin for my 1-2-3 cents in the near future. Kevin, being the wrestling nerd that he is, he's going down there, and he's going to scope it out. And, of course, he'll be visiting with beautiful Bobby Eaton as well. So we're trying to get the full you know, coverage on this one. The blitz, I don't know the proper terminology, but we're trying to get as many of our people down there, because beyond that, it's an opportunity for us to get together and hang out. I don't hang out with Kevin enough. In fact, as we record this, I've never met Kevin in person, and after this airs, I can't say that, because we're getting together and watching WrestleMania together. So as we record this, no, as you hear this, yes, we will have met, so we'll reunite, if you will, down at Cape Girardeau. It gives me a great excuse to go home, because to go back down there, because my wife says, you know, to drive in 2 hours to Cape Girardeau just to hang out with a friend, she's like, we got housework to do. But if I'm driving 2 hours to Cape Girardeau to expand my brand and, you know, visit, talk shop, and work on my podcast, things like that, and see friends, she says, oh, okay, I guess. Yeah, have fun. I'm looking forward to it. It was such a fun time last year, and I know it's going to be it's bigger, it's going to be better, and that's saying something, because for me last year, the bar was set pretty high, so I'm looking forward to it, and I'll be down there Saturday and Sunday. And it's going to be a great time.
I want to say thank you. I really appreciate the time you've given me. I did enjoy meeting you last year and the time we spent at the convention last year. It will be bigger and better this year. I'm looking forward to having you back here in Cape Girardeau and your team and expanding your brand. And we love having your podcast with us. And I just want to thank you for being so gracious and such a great host.
I hope that, and I made this wish last year. I said, you know, I hope that by this time next year, I've got a banner and we can put a table and I'll set up and I'll just broadcast, you know, all weekend long. We're not there yet, but I hope
we're close.
Cape Comic-Con 11, we're coming for you, and I won't have to do
we'll
all.
We'll have a spot for you.
That's right, and it's going to be awesome, and I'll have a sign or you know something. And for me, and you understand this, you know, being in your position, but it's, you know, finding sponsors. You know, none of this comes cheap. So, and I know you want to give a shout out to your partners in this, and I know that you have already mentioned Cape Girardeau Parks and Recreation as co-sponsors, but who are some of the other sponsors or partners that have helped to make this 10th year the biggest one yet?
There's too many to mention.
Fair enough.
Well, what I'm saying, I want to mention some. I just don't want to forget anyone. So those who I want to thank and let you know that they have been such a tremendous supporting team to put Cape Comic-Con on this year, and that is the Southeast Missourian and Rust Media, the Bank of Missouri, our friends at Hastings, Cape's Park and Rec, Barnes & Noble, and I can go on and on. But that team we put together that have helped me build this show over the years, cannot thank them enough, and it cannot be done without them.
Tell me about, because this is something that I just saw, again, today, listeners, for your purposes, late last week, but I know that you've got a new sign out at Werenberg, and some of the art that the classic art, if you will, that Rust Media has been putting out there, just get kind of a throwback, a little vintage styling, you know, to some signage around town that people can see and you know, maybe generate some interest that way as well.
Well, thank you for mentioning Werenberg Theaters, because I didn't. They are a tremendous partner. Werenberg Theaters, Cape's Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Cape's Arts Council. Didn't want to forget those guys. Jeff Rawson is the marketing director at Rust Media, along with Gary Rust and his team. we got together, we made a strategic plan, and we started putting it and rolling it all out over the last 4 to 6 weeks, over an eight-week period. And Jeff Rawson created those, rolled them out, and if you follow me on social media, they're blowing up. People are losing their mind over how iconic and classic they are. We're thrilled to have them all over Cape Girardeau and Jackson, Missouri. Sykeston.
You're building a brand. It's been 10 plus years in the making, and as I said, I'm so excited to get down there and to see you again, my friend, and visit with, you know, the guys from HELOC Comics and everybody, you know, meet Misty Brew and visit with Colin Bunn, who's already agreed to come on the show, and hopefully, fantastic. Fingers crossed, John Wesley Shipp is cool. I'm sure he is, and I hope he's not listening to that part. But everybody, you know, go down there and see familiar faces and just have a great weekend in what I'm starting to, you know, call now my spring reunion. I don't know... High school was 15 years ago for me, so I don't know if there's a 15-year class reunion. I don't care about that. Cape Comic-Con is my reunion. It's where I get to see people I want to see. So thank you, sir, for the opportunity to come down there, and I appreciate your graciousness and patience in working with me, and let's do it upright in a couple weeks. April, almost at August, no, April 17th, 18th, 19th, the Osage Center, and I can't stress enough, you can get the entire schedule, list of the featured guests, and, you know, tickets, things like that. You can pre-order the Avengers Ultron Forever variant, the Greg Land variant, the Cape Girardeau Greg Land variant, all cape-con.com. Final words, Mr. Ken Murphy.
Well, I tell everyone, make my show your own. Come down, bring your family, bring your friends, make it your April destination weekend, and make it your own. Have a great time. We look forward to seeing everyone there. Be prepared to have a lot of fun. And thank you guys so much for all your support. Let's have a great convention.
That is Ken Murphy from Cape Comic-Con. Cape Comic-Con 10th. As I just mentioned, I'll mention it again, April 17th, 18th, 19th, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, cape-con.com. That's episode 39 of Nerds United. And not only will we see you in Cape Girardeau that weekend, but we'll see you on down the road. Thanks for listening.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.